Welcome back to Monday Night Show. Let's go into Outside In, which is hosted by me with Mueloa Chibesekunda. How are you doing today, Mueloa?
I'm great, Chi. I'm great. How's everybody doing tonight?
I guess we're okay. So what do you have for us today? So I know you're going to profile some companies. So
yes,
who are we starting with?
As usual. And this is what we do best, yeah. Right? So my first company today is Lafarge.
Okay.
Cement. I'm seeing here. They just recently published their half-year results. And yes, they need a standing ovation because, you know, really? their performance came in much, much stronger.
Really?
I need to remind listeners that, you know, Lafarge has obviously had a bit of a tumultuous period with coming on board of certain competitors, one of which is Dangote, that forced them a couple of years ago to go into a price war. And we saw the plummeting of cement prices from, you know, your average of about 70, 80. I think to a certain extent, it actually rose almost 90 kwacha per bag to, you know, to the mid-50s or the lower end of 50 kwacha.
Which was good for the consumer. It was
brilliant for the consumer, but then it actually showed Lafarge that they could not sit on their laurels because, you know, when you're an extant player, like Lafarge, yes. I mean, they've been in the Zambian space for a very, very long time. And yes, fine, you know, they were the dominant force, and I believe they kind of got comfortable with that. But then, you see, when you're in an industry like that and you amass lots of profits, it makes that industry very, very attractive.
Yeah.
Although the barriers of entry into the cement game are very, very high. But if you've got muscle players like Dangote, who has, you know, like invested in industries across the world, you become easy prey for them to actually enter your market space. So that's essentially what happened with Lafarge.
Mm.
Right. Now, coming down to present day, when we looked at their published half year, and I have to remind the listeners that when companies publish on Luce their half year results, these are unaudited. So we expect audited results to be, you know, to be published at the very end of the year. So these are things that are compiled from the management accounts that come out of the company. It is a requirement for every listed company to publish these results. I believe in the U.S., in some of the listed companies, they always announce things like quarterly earnings. And Chi, I'm sure you've heard about quarterly earnings. Last week, we discussed Tesla's quarterly earnings, you know, where Mr. Elon Musk came out, king of the world.
Looking good.
Which is looking good. Yeah. So now,
and more companies are publishing their quarterly earnings, actually.
Absolutely. And they always have like a particular day when they actually would like to announce it. So most analysts will be, you know, sitting by their computers waiting for these guys to publish. And some of them would actually listen to the phone calls.
Is that when they publish their quarterlies, like most of the CEOs have a type of conference call?
Yes, it's a conference call. Yes, so conference call. So they'll send to all the shareholders and stakeholders to, like, you know, to tune in. And, you know, they can listen to the CEO and the CFO. And, it's usually a combo between the CFO and the CEO, who will then now, you know, take them through the numbers in terms of how they perform.
We don't really have that, though, do we?
Not really. But, I mean, that's something that could, you know, like, easily be enforceable. But then again, you know, there's always that arm's length sort of relationship that companies have with investors in that company. So what tends to happen is that, you know, most of them will just get engaged at the annual general meeting. And this is why, for us, we're, like, huge advocates for, you know, like people that have invested in stock to actually be knowledgeable. But this is where we came in and filled up the space now analyze these companies for our readers. So
way to promote yourself, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now getting into Lafarge's performance.
Sure.
So they saw an 18% increase in revenue compared to the same time last year. So remember, half year was at June this year. Now they've more or less stabilized their revenue growth, and currently the cement market is fairly stable.
Mm.
We've actually seen increases in the cement prices over the last couple of months.
Yes.
That's owing to, you know, if companies enter a price war, all companies that are in that particular price war are basically losers because they're all fighting for market share.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, Lafarge was literally dragged into this war by Dangote. Mm. But then, you know, at the end of the day, Dangote just basically wanted to cement their mark on the Zambian market.
No,
and obviously, they were attacking Lafarge's market share.
Yeah.
But essentially, what Lafarge then now did, and we covered this in a couple of other earlier stories before this one, what we had observed was that Lafarge then pursued an economies of scope strategy because, yes, they did have scale, but then they needed to have products that differentiated themselves from what Dangote had.
Mm.
If consumers actually notice, Dangote had two cements.
Yes.
Lafarge now boasts of about 5 to 6 different cements.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, this game is very, very interesting because all of a sudden, in as much as Half Year has been really, really great, and Lafarge has obviously been a beneficiary from huge projects like government's Link 8000 project,
exactly.
And with all the construction that's actually going on, and you know, I would like to, I'll be very curious to actually see what the GDP numbers for Zambia will actually be, because construction is actually one of the biggest, you know, like areas where there's a lot of money that's being spent, and you know, Lafarge is obviously a beneficiary from that, and that's because of the way they structure their deals. So they go. They not only do you know, the small, you know, like retail sales, but then they also do the big contracts. So they'll either be a strategic partner in construction of a building or a road, etc. So those are the volume sales,
and they probably have an upper hand on Dangote in that regard.
Exactly, yes, because they've been in the market for a very long time. So obviously, you know, the price war obviously had to end at some point in time. I had a chance to talk to some of the execs that are out of Lafarge, and you know, even they were, you know, they breathe a sigh of relief, because you know, like over time, you know, they were expecting this, you know, to see an upward surge in terms of the prices, which is a good thing. So this obviously has impacted their, you know, their bottom line. Now, going back to you know, back to the company strategy, one of the things that we observed is that they've obviously been consistent in terms of the economies of scope sort of strategy. They've obviously embedded themselves in some of the major infrastructure projects. However, we've also noticed that they've also been accelerating their investment in the Benistore franchise network. Essentially, what Benistore is a replication of what Zambeef did with their macro outlets. Macro outlets for Zambeef were Zambeef bringing stores closer to their consumers. So you'll have a little container that has, you know, like in this particular case, the Benistore will be like a little container that has, you know, like
the cement,
and it's closer to where the construction is actually going on.
So
you don't
those.
Have to, exactly.
Yes, yes.
So they've been very, very aggressive in actually doing that. But then lo and behold, one of the things that obviously that you know, in as much as you know, the management team then now stated that, you know, that the industry was not without challenges, there were obviously increases in production costs and you know, energy costs such as diesel and coal negatively impacted the profit, although they did make a profit. But then, you know, in the same year as well, you know, obviously because fuel saw a double, you know, fuel more or less doubled in 2018 alone, and you know, this was like, you know, signaling it actually signaled that there would actually be a bit of stress on cost of sales. So that meant that, you know, come end of year, we expect that with the last fuel increment, that's obviously going to impact the numbers. But what, and this is some of the things that I always scold, you know, like management teams about, is that, you know, sometimes it's always important to expose what the complete scope of the forces that will be attacking your profit margins are. They do not talk about you know, the newest entrant, or rather the newest kid on the block, Sonoma. Sonoma has come with a bang. They've got billboards all over the place, and they're in with a vengeance. But the catch is this: what the listeners should observe is when you look at some of the billboards, and this is something that we picked up in the macro. When you look at the billboards that Sonoma is putting up, they've got about 4 to 5 flavors of cement,
which
is analogous to what you know, Lafarge is actually
doing.
So they're actually coming into the market with a similar strategy as Lafarge.
Do we know who owns Sonoma?
Well, I believe that there's some Chinese money in there, but this is something that we can actually find out. And unfortunately, to our listeners, that, you know, Sonoma's not listed.
It's
but
not
obviously
listed,
you can see the strategy that they're obviously coming in. They've observed that, you know, to come into this game, if you're going to come with one flavor of cement, it's not going to cut it, because, you know, you've got Zambezi Portland as well that have, you know, minimum number in terms of variety. So they've come in with a strategy that's very similar to Lafarge's. So we actually anticipate that, you know, like Lafarge's bottom line might be slightly stretched come end of year. But then the consolation is that they've obviously locked down a couple of decent deals that should see them, you know, with a very good end of year.
So we don't anticipate a price war with Sonoma, though, do we?
Not really. Mm. I think right now we're out of that, and I believe Sonoma hasn't really come with the scale that Dangote came in. They did invest over half a billion dollars into their plant. It's obviously created a lot of, I mean, these guys are not joking around.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're gonna come in,
you have to come in strong.
So we anticipate that, you know, with the inflation and the price of cement from 50 to now almost touching 70 per bag, yes, that should be enough in terms of terms of scale-wise, in terms of preserving some of that profitability. But obviously, it's all about the units that you're going to move, because this is a scale game. So at the end of the day, you know, Lafarge, we'll need to keep an eye on Lafarge's performance later on.
Coming to that, because you mentioned the upper hand that Lafarge had on Dangote, that they probably do have a foot in the door when it comes to the upscale projects which even our government is engaging in. Now, considering that our government has this relationship now with China, and you mentioned that there's some Chinese money in Sinoma, do we anticipate a thing where it's like, okay, if you're going to do this project, you got to buy from these guys, not from who you generally buy from?
I wouldn't know that, but you couldn't put it past them, could you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But I mean, look, it's a known fact that obviously government gives, you know, like some of the biggest contracts. And I believe that there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of projects to go around. I mean, you just have to drive around Lusaka and you're able to see.
You see all the time. There's
so much. So I believe the market is really, really ripe for cement companies. And obviously Sinoma comes in at an opportune time to now obviously be able to get a bit of that market share. But when I looked at, you know, the product variety that they came in, the similarities to, you know, Lafarge's sort of strategy, I would also not be, you know, I wouldn't put it past Sinoma to also then now bring on a Benestore type, you know, solution for consumers. Yeah. So we need to keep an eye on that.
But what do you think? I always ask you for your assessment. Is Lafarge still a stock people should be interested in investing in?
They people still need to think. And
you think the environment is good for a cement company?
It actually is, because the beauty of it, and we saw this now with you know, the price war ending. I don't think any other company is going to come in and be stupid enough to say, okay, fine, let's take us into another price war. In fact, if anything, I think everybody's been pretty exhausted.
The sort of prices that
we're seeing right now are almost, well, I'm meant to believe that are cost reflective. And, you know, with the sort of investment, because you also have to remember that these guys, you know, these guys invest a lot of capital into these plants. And some of these plants, obviously, you know, like there's a particular return that, you know, whoever is investing it will expect, and the internal IRR. So, the IRR for those particular projects. So, you know, they want to make their money back. So, you know, it's important that, you know, even, and another thing that we need to keep an eye on is obviously the exchange rate as well, because it impacts, because some of these guys will get international money, which is dollar denominated, and then they'll invest in building these plants. Yeah. So I think for now, I believe that the price war is over. If it does come back, then it's going to be disastrous. It's going to be disastrous.
Do you anticipate an upward progression in terms of the price of their stock?
Well, you know, I believe that the price of the stock itself is more or less at equilibrium. Okay. You have to remember that, yes, Lafarge did have a fallout, I believe, early last year, January, when their stock went a bit crazy. But with what we've observed with most companies on Luce, activities around the company, issues of, you know, competitive forces, etc., never really impact the price of the share. Yeah. Ordinarily, you know, because there's information symmetry, one would expect that yes, there would be some sort of reaction, buying and selling, because it's a buyers and sellers market. But you know, we haven't really seen that. One of the things that we do observe is that there'll be price movement based on sales. So chances are. And also liquidity as well. We believe that liquidity has also been impacting impacting the market in terms of pricing. So those are just some of the two factors that we believe that would shake up the price of the stock.
All right, there you go, Lafarge. What's the tagline? Big, strong, reliable?
No. Oh. That'll be Zanaco. The next one coming up. Oh, you preempted the next one.
Hey, guys, we're going to take a one-minute break. We're going to be back. Mona's going to talk to us about Zanaco. So stay tuned.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Money 93.7 FM, your business radio.
This is the Money Night Show, and this is Outside In with Financial Insights Zambia. Representing Financial Insights tonight is the CEO, Mwelo Chibesa Kunda. Preempted the
yes, you did. You segment. Went into big, strong, reliable.
So were the results big, strong, reliable? What do you think?
I
got into the Zanaco IPO, FYI.
Nice. Yeah. She's been investing. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So big, strong, reliable, Zanaco, big boy of one of the big boys on the Luce. So they just recently posted their half-year results. And, okay, these ones came in a tad bit mild for the simple reason that Zanaco has been pursuing a vanity project. Zanaco's image has basically been turned around from your traditional old type parastatal type bank to this modern state of the art thing. Have you seen their new business or rather their prestige centers?
I have not.
They are pristine. They are really, really
you
cool.
You are kidding
yes.
me.
Yes. This is Zanaco that's changing its thing. I mean, it's like it went to the salon and got a new hairdo and, it's back with that. But all the more reason to now note that, if you read some of the stories that we've had, we've actually been tracking the progress.
Okay.
Earlier on, just to make give a listeners a bit of a recap, Zanaco actually started the transformation a couple of years ago. It's about 3-4 years ago. And, the management team at the time made the bold decision to say, look, we need to turn around this bank. And this is obviously post-Rabobank coming on board as shareholders in the bank. So obviously government reduced its interest in the bank and allowed shareholders, which is one of the things that we actually believe is the way to go for many entities that have, or rather state-owned enterprises that, we're going to touch on later on in one of our later discussions.
The big lady had that words for SOEs.
Absolutely, yes. So anyway, what we'd observed from the half-year report was that, 50 the operating expenses went up by 15%. Now, this is where we showcase our skills as financial insight, and I have to blow our horn. When you see companies are investing quite a bit in terms of their image, one of the areas in their income statement that gets hit is obviously under income or rather operating expenses. So what we had observed was like a 15% increase that was attributed to obviously its investment or what the company said was investment related expenses. However, we actually believe that this is actually going to be very good at rebooting their goodwill. So goodwill is a line that obviously comes in on the balance sheet as well. So that's something that we believe is going to impact them. But when we looked at performance in terms of in terms of the money that actually these guys made, what we'd observed was that non-funded income, NFI, grew by about 24% on a year-on-year basis. This is compared to last year. And this was due to the strong commission and foreign exchange income that was largely linked to the growth of their customer base. So they did
grow their customer base.
Exactly, yes. Okay. And then the bank also reported that that deposits had also grown by 17% on a year-on-year basis. So which also shows that there's a lot of confidence. And their 15% increase in operating expenses is obviously paying dividends through, the 17% year on year. So these are some of the nuances in the numbers that we often decode when certain things. So if at all the customer base had actually gone down, we'll then now say, okay, fine, the increase in expenses was not money well spent.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they're obviously spending their money very, very well.
Well, here's the thing with Zanaco, though, it's a complaint which we've been hearing for years, is that people complain about lines, for instance.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So now, fine, they're growing their customer base.
Exactly.
And these business centers that they're building, is that their version of prestige banking?
No, they do have a prestige, but it's actually a plethora of customer experiences that they're actually now going to be presenting.
Okay.
But you have to remember that they were never really in the prestige side of the market.
Exactly.
I mean, that was always been the preserve of your Barclays, your Stanbics,
the
big private banks. But then Zanaco is obviously moving into that space because obviously it's quite lucrative. However, when you talk about increasing in customers, if we take you back to some of the early articles that that we actually did, we actually decoded that Zanaco were actually pursuing a technology strategy.
That was my
next
question.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
so yes. You remember when Zapid came on board?
Yes.
Zapid apparently right now is on steroids. It's been rebooted. I mean, it's been freshened up. There's a lot more stuff that you can actually do with it.
Okay.
So they're now in that space. They've obviously been fairly dominant around that particular product. And I must say that that's been one of the most impressive products that's actually come out of Zanaco.
That was the first mobile banking app I ever used. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it works like a charm. But then they also, what I understand is that they also went and talked to the telcos and upgraded their experience. So it's actually one of the most the quickest platforms to do mobile banking on, which is a signal about the management team's intent of pursuing a technology strategy. Everything else then now falls into place. Now, when we go back to their performance, One of the things that we observe, so, you know, with banks, normally you want to keep an eye on what's happening with their assets, because that's where, you know, the assets obviously will give you an indication of how their value proposition, or rather their value growing proposition is, is. And in this particular case, what we'd observed was that, you know, from the unaudited financials, there was actually a reduction in the cash and balances with the central bank by about 22%.
Okay.
In addition to that, there was a reduction in loans and advances to customers by 5.2%.
Okay.
However, there was a 30.7% increase in finance investments. Now, we don't know what these finance investments are. We could only speculate, but chances are that, you know, like with some financial institutions, they always go and see government paper, such as bonds and
the
T-bills.
Yes.
So chances are that this is where that's where they're making things. And it looks like, you know, that's been the trend right now, especially on the money markets. Most most institutions that are cash rich would obviously you know pursue these less risky assets, and that kind of like you know preserves their value creation proposition. Now, obviously the this you know this is obviously very it's a significant it's a significant you know achievement by the bank, because you know the bank believes that you know this achievement attests to the strength of the bank's network and reach out, and it also you know exposes their enhanced value proposition. In addition to that, it also shows that they possess one of the most expansive branch networks that you know that they've benefited from, because
that's
these have been legacy investments that they've made, and it shows that you know the strategies of old have been embraced by you know the current management team, and they're trying to leverage off there. But you know, sadly though, you know, though they had that particular, you know, they managed to have you know that improved performance. They did actually experience a 10% decline in net interest income. Now, net interest income is that line on the income statement of most banks. If you pick up an income statement, say in the newspaper of any of the banks, they'll have a net income net income line, net income interest. Now, net income interest, because they're a bank, they loan out money. So that's the interest that they actually make. But then in this particular case, their strategy around that obviously hasn't really worked out that well at half year. You know, so it's obviously seen you know a bit of a decline, and apparently they're attributing it mainly due to the margin compression following the reduced pricing in local currency loans. Now, local currency loans reduce pricing. That's because of the central bank's move to now you know like reduce the monetary policy rate.
Did they actually reduce the rate?
No, the rate yes was, but the rate hasn't been reduced in the last two quarters. Remember in January, because remember this is the first half of the year.
Yeah.
So that. What we anticipate is that for the second half of the year, this might not be the reasoning, if at all, there's
poor
performance.
Because
the monetary policy rate from central bank has obviously been very, very flat.
Yeah.
Has been flat over the last two announcements. And we're anticipating, I believe the next announcement from Dr. Danny Kalele should be, I think, in November. It should be sometime in November.
Okay.
But I'm sure we'll let listeners know when they're slated to announce. Now, obviously, now the bank has been at another thing that has obviously hit the bank, which the central bank governor touched on, was you know the significant impact of non-performing loans. Non-performing loans, I think, is a ubiquitous problem that's been on the market. A lot of financial institutions have actually been hurt by that.
Yeah.
That was the more reason why the central bank went through the strategy of you know on the policy rate of reducing it. However, there's been exogenous pressure on the money side of things that has now led to you know the central bank reconsidering that, because when it comes to things like rates, they'll be looking at things like inflation, and you do know that you know central bank had actually announced that they'll be you know like monitoring the inflation rate, and they anticipate that it will end the year between the 6-8% range. However,
they're going to miss that though.
They might just miss that because Central Statistics has obviously reported in the last 2 months that they crossed the 8% barrier. It has been a bit of a hit. But then the long short for Zanaco is that you know the management team believes that you know the bank still remains well capitalized above the 10% ratio, which is obviously a requirement by the central bank. And then, however, what we also observed was that the equity eroded by 1.2 billion kwacha to about 750 million kwacha. So for investors in this company, they've obviously gotten a bit of a hit. So it will be very,
What were there cash outs? Like
not really cash outs. You see, the thing about equity. Obviously, these are shareholders' funds. So what tends to happen is that depending on how the company is performing, you'd want to then now dip into shareholders' funds to now finance certain aspects of the
exactly.
So once that's done, then there's a bit of movement. But I wouldn't panic too much.
Yeah.
I mean, right now they're on course. Yes, the money markets have obviously been quite tricky. But I believe that they're still a formidable force. But yes, however, we still feel that this was a bit of a lackluster performance at half year.
Yes, it sounds it. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. Has anybody given a forecast on what they see coming from Zinalco besides you guys? Anybody inside Zinalco?
Well, not really. But we do keep an eye out on some of the reports that actually come out of Zinalco. But obviously this is something that we're going to be following, and we'll be curious to see once they publish their annual report. So that way we can give our readers and listeners a more in-depth in-depth analysis of the bank itself.
It's been a tough year for banks, though, hasn't it?
It actually has, and you can imagine Q3 and Q4, which is obviously the second half of the year. We'll then now see the advent of the decision by the central bank to to shave off some of those charges, like the ATM charges, etc. That's also going to have an impact.
Yes,
most of these banks now having to reassess what their strategy is going to be, because that I believe worked out pretty well. Though obviously as a consumer, I'll be complaining that the charges were a bit too much. But this is the banks have to make money one way or another.
Somewhere,
Okay.
Well, you see. That is the interesting dilemma. Can you imagine being both a shareholder and a consumer of a bank? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, fine. It's cheaper for me to bank.
Yeah.
But you guys are not going to make as much money as you did before.
That's true.
Yeah. So what's your verdict then? Is Zinalco one to look out for? Do you think it's one to hold back a bit?
You know what? Q3 and Q4, I believe, Zinalco will not just be the only bank that we'll probably need to look at. The beauty is that, all the banks get to publish their financials. Yeah. It's a requirement, quarterly financials. Yeah. So, central
and
bank.
Cavmon took a hit.
They took a hit. I think we're going to see that across the market. But we actually see a situation where the ones that will come out on top is the ones that obviously had the great customer experience.
Yeah.
And looked after their customer base. Obviously, the non-performing loans are a concern, and it looks like central banks. Move to reduce the MPC or the MPR over the last 6 quarters from last year to this year hasn't really had the effect that the central bank actually wanted.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, obviously there's other exogenous forces that are coming into play right now, and for us, what we will be concerned about is if we go towards an upward movement on monetary policy rate. But we believe that the central bank is fighting tooth and nail to ensure that they keep it flat, so that the ripple effect, because some of these things you can reduce the rates now, but the effect is only felt like a quarter or two quarters later on. So we'll be curious. I think for this one, we'll have to see what happens at end of year.
All right. Excellent. So those of you who are interested in banking stocks, one to look out for. It's been a tough year for you guys who are banking investors, eh? But I guess what? Keep hope? Steer the course? I mean, what's their tagline again? I'm not going to say it. That's too
big,
much
strong, reliable.
How long have they been in business? Do we know?
Wow. Not really. But they've been in business for a very long time. And remember, they've taken different shapes. Yeah,
exactly. They have taken different shapes.
But I believe that they're the model for what most of state-owned enterprises should actually be aiming at.
I think you're right.
Yes. I believe that bringing on board equity investors, like the way they brought on board Rabobank, brings accountability.
Mm.
The management teams now are on their toes. And then the management team also pursues strategies that are more targeted towards the bottom line. It is a bit of a capitalistic way of looking at it, but if a company is struggling, it's always best to see if you can bring in.
Well, that's exactly what our minister wants. That's what she wants.
But
she wants the SOEs.
That's
my job. Yeah. All I do is preempt you.
Again, he's done it.
All right, so we're done with Zinalco.
Yeah, we're done.
All right, cool. So now we're going to take a break. Then we'll be back with Mwelwa's other news. So guys, stay tuned. This is Outside In, part of the Money Night Show. And remember, be part of the conversation. 0967 144220 or go on our social media networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The account name is MoneyFMZambia, or you can simply say hashtag Money Night Show. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.